News Radio, 1500 AM.
This program may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Solutions Developers Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. Federal Tech Talk is the show that opens the world of technology, the federal government. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts to help you understand some of the IT trends and challenges that your agency might be facing. Federal Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now, your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk here with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today I have Dr. Harry Greenspun in the studio here. He's the Chief Medical Officer at Dell. How are you doing, Harry?
Doing great, John. Thanks for having me back.
Geez, we had you on about a year ago, and it's like the whole world's turned upside down since then. I mean, I don't even know where to start with the whole concept of electronic medical records and your career and the company change and the book and everything else. But before we dive into some of these more serious topics, just tell us a little about your background and how you wound up working with Dell.
Sure. And it certainly has been a busy time here in healthcare. I'm the chief medical officer at Dell, and I started out previously at Perot Systems. And as some of you may know, we were acquired by Dell back in November. I'm a cardiac anesthesiologist by training, was chief resident at Hopkins, and got involved in health IT back in the mid-90s. And have moved my career along in both the clinical and the IT spectrum since then.
That's an interesting background. The last time we were on the air, we did a kind of a deep dive into the whole concept of electronic medical records, what they are, what they aren't, and how it impacts the whole process for people who are listening, whether they work for the federal government or whether they're working in a Texaco in Arkansas or something. It's a huge topic. And what you've done just in the last year, you've come up with a book, and the book is called Reengineering Healthcare. And there is a website you can visit called reengineeringhealthcare.com, or you can Google Greenspun, G-R-E-E-N-S-P-U-N. It'll lead you there, too. Tell us a little about this book and why you decided to come up with this book.
Well, you know, it's been a very busy time in healthcare, as you mentioned, and you know, doctors and hospitals and other clinicians are facing a tremendous amount of change right now in healthcare. And I was fortunate to have an association with Jim Champy, who has a longtime association with Perot Systems. And Jim, as many of you know, was the author of a book called Reengineering the Corporation. He wrote back in the mid-90s.
Sold 3 million copies. I mean, someone bought it.
Yeah, it was one of the best business books in the 90s. And Jim's written some other books since then. But a lot of his concepts of how do you transform an industry are really applicable to healthcare. And as you know, healthcare has been pretty rooted in the past. We really don't practice medicine in ways that are much different than were practiced a century ago. And the book really lays out the way that people really need to go about making really dramatic changes in how they deliver care.
And I think our last discussion was on electronic medical records. It's really an aspect of it. And if you try to take a detached perspective of you know, the last 5 or 10 years, what we see the changes have taken place mostly in how doctors are getting paid, not necessarily on how healthcare itself is performed.
Yeah, very true. And you know, even looking at healthcare reform that passed recently. Really, that's about payment reform, how healthcare gets paid for. There is some innovation money set aside, some pilot programs, but a lot of it is changing how doctors get paid, how hospitals get paid, and forcing them to find new ways of delivering care in a more efficient, safer, and higher quality way in order to deal with, in fact, reduce reimbursement.
It's changed so much. I mean, when you took a look at mobile devices, you know, I imagine there's some physicians now who are looking at patients through mobile devices, looking at records through mobile devices, where this was not even, I mean, look at even TV programs. They still took a piece of paper for medical records. I mean, medical records, it's changing completely around. Tell me about this book, The Manifesto for Radically Rethinking Healthcare Delivery, available on Kindle as well. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. And Jim, actually, my co-author, was one of the earlier adopters of Kindle and serialized one of his previous books on Kindle. What we lay out is some of the bigger challenges faced in healthcare. And again, going back to the really basic issues of quality and safety and efficiency. And what are the aspects that individuals can really take to change how things are done? And we highlight a bunch of cases of different types of hospitals and physician practices, from the very large to the very, very small, and how they've been able to really make dramatic changes in how they deliver care.
You know, before the program started, going through the book, it has a checklist for implementing new technologies. It has a checklist for process. It has a checklist for the people. It's something you can apply to manufacturing cars or healthcare. So a lot of these are business management or human management principles, aren't they?
Yeah, it's really a mixture of people, process, and technology, and really the fundamentals of reengineering. And, you know, it's interesting to bring up these other industries. When you look at other industries like banking, for example, or even the airline industry, which is, again, a very highly regulated industry that's very focused on safety, they've gone through these transitions, and healthcare really is lagging behind. You talked about handheld devices. I mean, it's odd that, you know, most doctors and most nurses spend a lot of time on their mobile devices, you know, looking up movies and restaurants and communicating with friends. And yet when they walk into work, they're really back 20 or 30 years ago.
You know, I was just thinking, if I were to go to Dulles and fly out to Oklahoma and rent a car, guess what? There's going to be a guy there with a little handheld device giving me the car, and I'm out of there as fast as possible. I mean, it's just like, well, if those concepts can't apply to something as pedestrian as car rentals, what about something as important as cardiac care?
Yeah, when you think about, you know, that same flight is that, you know, 20 years ago, you'd go to a travel agent to help you find all that stuff. And now we're in a situation where you can go online and there's enough transparency for you to not only find out, you know, what's the best place to stay, what's the route to take, how to pay for it, and what other people commented on the quality of where you're going to stay, or the on-time performance of the airline. You have all the information. Yet if you need to get something basic like a physical exam, or you want to find a new primary care doctor, you don't have those same resources.
And it looks like the Obama administration is taking a look at this as a big picture and saying, look, we're going to take and move some money in and go after this problem. And oh, I hate to say this, but in many cases, some of the impetus on health care reform is coming from federal agencies and from the stimulus fund, this ARRA money. Is that right?
Yeah. So we have a lot of the stimulus money was set aside for adoption of electronic medical records. And as you know, historically, the rate of adoption of EMRs has been very, very slow. And most of your listeners, when they go to the doctor's office or go to the hospital, they will find traditional paper records there. And what the administration recognized was that to improve quality, to improve safety, to move information around, to have it available where it needs to be, the first step is really getting electronic health records into the doctor's offices and into the hospitals.
And I mean, the number I've heard is around $20 billion. Is that just for healthcare, or is that for EMR? How's that split up?
Well, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid have set aside a big chunk of money, and it's somewhere around you know, in the lower $20 billion range. A mixture of incentives for physicians and hospitals who adopt and use electronic health records, and I stress use. It's not for buying these things. It's actually for actually putting them to what they call meaningful use. So there's money going out as incentives. There's also penalties for those who fail to adopt after 2015.
We're going to have to take a quick break. When we get back, talk more about electronic medical records and a new book out that touches on that directly. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we're speaking with Dr. Harry Greenspun, Chief Medical Officer at Dell.
Federal news and information just got more fun and interesting. Amy Morris joins Tom Temin on The Federal Drive, weekday mornings from 6 to 10. Tom and Amy tailor their show for Feds on the go with usable information from trustworthy and seasoned journalists. You're going to learn, but they also might make you laugh. The Federal Drive with Tom Temin and Amy Morris, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we're speaking with Dr. Harry Greenspun, Chief Medical Officer at Dell, talking about some huge big issues. Let's take a huge big issue here. Talk about the world. You've been involved in the World Economic Forum, the Global Health Advisory Board. So how are we doing in the United States here? Are we in a backwater country when it comes to electronic medical records? Are those Germans ahead of us, or where do we stand?
Well, you know, when you look at comparisons country to country, we routinely wind up with some great marks and some black eyes. And we typically get black eyes around preventative care. That's a pretty common thing. I think more importantly is that we far outspend other countries on a per capita basis in terms of health care. So we wind up spending much more money than other industrialized nations per individual. What's interesting about that is that that a lot, we're spending a lot of money, but not getting the results for it. And a lot of people believe that it's not that we're spending too much money, it's that we're spending our money poorly, and that we could get much better outcomes for the amount of money we spend on each individual.
Dr. Harry Greenspun has a recent book coming out called Reengineering Healthcare. You can go to reengineeringhealthcare.com, learn more about it. There's a Twitter feed available, believe it or not. And what would they search for under Twitter? Is it Greenspun?
It's Harry Greenspun is my, Harry Greenspun, my Twitter feed. We've got a lot of interesting followers, and I try to keep it as, I would say, business-like as possible. You'll never see me say that I just ate a turkey sandwich. It's really, there's some important important article that just came out, important meeting just came out, or you know, sort of news flashes in healthcare and the health IT industry.
You know, I have some listeners that don't know what Twitter is, and I'm sure there's some listeners who are as up to speed as you on healthcare and healthcare reform, electronic medical records. And for that small segment of the audience who is intensely interested, well, this is a place to go to find out what's going on, because I was at your Twitter site this morning, and you linked to articles that have nothing to do with you, nothing to do with Dell, but interesting for the community at large. So I think it's important to know about that Twitter feed.
Oh, I appreciate that. And the thing is, there's so many moving parts going on in healthcare right now, you know, in Capitol Hill, in the federal agencies, in the private sector, and internationally. To try and keep up with that is a real challenge. And so what I've tried to do is, you know, make sure that people get the best information, most relevant stuff that would help them stay informed.
Speaking of keeping up, Dell traditionally is a company where years ago I'd buy desktops from Dell, then I bought notebooks from Dell, and then increasingly bought servers from Dell. Dell is changing. You're the chief medical officer there. Now Dell has a new offering with a handheld device. So take Dell, take medical records, handheld device. Is there any connection there at all?
Well, you know, it's been a really fascinating process. As I mentioned, we were acquired from Perot Systems, acquired back in November, and traditionally Perot Systems very heavy into services, and we were one of the largest providers of health IT services. And, you know, you think of Dell traditionally as a hardware company, though also did a large amount of services, particularly in healthcare. And now you combine sort of the hardware and other expertise that Dell has with the Perot Systems expertise, and we're able to wrap them together to provide solutions. We're now, according to a recent survey, the largest provider of health IT services globally. And
hard to believe, man. No one would take that bet, would they?
No, it's on for people who are outside of our industry directly. It's a real surprise for people inside. It makes sense. But just now we're starting to see some of the really innovative stuff that can happen when you combine real health expertise with technology expertise. You know, as you mentioned, we have a handheld out now, the Dell Streak. It's a 5-inch Droid device. And it's very cool. It's on the website, and people are looking at it. And, you know, I've got one here in the studio for you to play around with. And everywhere I go, people are fascinated. Like, what is that? I've never seen one of those before. And so it's got a huge cool factor. But it's also very it's a great productivity tool, particularly for physicians. Obviously, my bias continually goes back to healthcare. And for physicians to be able to access high-resolution images, medical records, I've got an application right now for an ambulatory electronic health record where I can pull up my patients. I can identify what their medicines are, what their problem lists are. So if they call me, if there's a question, I can do that. If they need a prescription refill, I can identify the nearest pharmacy and send an e-prescription to that pharmacy. I can send notes to an emergency room if I send them to an emergency room. So it's an excellent tool for you know, physicians on the go, and it's small enough to be white coat pocketable.
Yeah, I've been in this industry a long time, and I'm plugged into many CIOs, federal and commercial in the area here, and when you're having a coffee with some CIOs, what they're saying is finally we have a device or an operating system that we can take and we can write code for that's going to be secure. And I think that's what people are looking at Droid devices and going, well, we can use open source technology and maybe write some safe, secure devices. I think that's the big hang-up is it's okay to have information about the Washington Redskins on a handheld device, but what about your most recent surgery? Now, then we've got to draw the line there, Harry. I mean, now we have to be secure. You got to worry about that.
Yeah, and privacy and security are certainly enormous concerns. And unless that we can adequately protect the privacy and security of individuals, they're not going to be confident about having that information available. You know, on the one hand, you know, if you're dying and you wind up in an emergency room unconscious, you want that medical team to have access to all sorts of information about you to save your life. But if you are, you know, walking in to you know, for an average problem, you may or may not want to disclose information. And based on surveys, more than half of Americans have information in their medical record they do not want to disclose. So we have to make sure that we're adequately protecting that privacy and security. And at the same time, give people control over how that information flows and who has access to it.
I'll ask the obvious question. So you're a medical doctor, and you're involved in the world of technology, but what you're really talking about is change management. So you've got this one hat, the hat says doctor, the other hat, the hat says technology. You're taking off all those hats, and you're putting on your change management hat. It's kind of interesting, many different hats. I don't know which Harry to talk to.
it's been interesting for me because, I came from academic medicine, and I got involved in industry. And so I know how healthcare works. I was raised in that culture. And then I got thrown into the business world, and you see how that world works. And you realize there are great lessons that each can learn from the other. And there are really profound cultural differences between how businesses are run and how healthcare is run. And, everyone likes to say that they're different or their industry is different. But there are a lot of really valuable lessons that you can learn from one another. And particularly one of the things we identify in the book is there are ways of taking the best of what an industry has to offer and apply it to your work to make improvements.
Let me ask a quick question about electronic medical records. What kind of success has happened in that whole concept here in the last 6-8 months since we last spoke?
Well, the most important things that happened since we last spoke is that we now have the specific regulations out on how physicians and how hospitals, what they will have to do to be eligible for incentive payments from the government. There have been lots and lots of meetings, lots of discussions, public comment periods. The initial requirements were released by the Office of National Coordinator for Health IT, were viewed as, I think the quote was, too much, too fast. And through some public comment and some rejiggering of those requirements, they made it more flexible and much more attainable. So as early as November of this year, we can start seeing some incentive payments begin to flow to hospitals and starting January to physicians. So I think we're just at the beginning of the uptick in electronic medical record adoption.
I remember when Alan Nevins wrote Too Little, Too Liked. He's a historian, so they take a play on that. That's fascinating. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today we are speaking with Dr. Harry Greenspun, Chief Medical Officer at Dell. We've had a wide-ranging conversation. Started off talking about electronic medical records. Then we bounced off of some world concerns. And I want to focus in on my listeners. You know, I always talk about frustrated IT professionals. They're in their offices, are about to jump out the basement window. They got these mandates on them, and they got these initiatives and all these kind of things. But let's talk about them from a human perspective, you know? So you're working over at the Department of Interior, DOI, and you got a medical appointment. You got to see your doctor tomorrow, and you walk in the office, and the experience is just like a 1956 Long Island. The guy's got paper records. So what is going to be the impetus to change? Is the impetus to change going to be reading your book, reengineering healthcare? Is it going to be financial? Or is it going to be humans like my listeners going in and saying, hey, I want to walk out of here with my medical records, or I want to know more than what you just told me? What's going to be the impetus here, doctor?
Well, I think there'd be a couple things. I mean, first of all, the government can't do it on its own. The incentive payments are really going to start creating, I'd say, the first groundswell or the increase in adoption of electronic health records. But it's really going to be the patient experience. And, you brought up, when you show up at the doctor's office, and the irony of it is, most of us will show up in a physician's office and we'll wait. And yet if you show up to any restaurant in the mall, they'll tell you how long it's going to be. And they'll give you one of those little light up buzzers to tell you when it's your turn. You can get something done. You can do other things. And every step along the way, the way it is currently done in healthcare is so backwards compared to how it's done in other industries. And so what I think we'll start seeing is more demand for improved service, improved transparency, better use of technology. And, certainly my book is a way of helping people start making those changes. But I think it's going to be a lot of consumer demand. I mean, most of us are willing to walk into a doctor's office and be treated the way we've been treated probably since we were born. Want something better.
I'll talk about another book here, Malcolm Gladwell's book, The Tipping Point. And, he's a kind of fascinating kind of guy if you read all his books. But at Tipping Point, maybe this electronic medical record, maybe the federal government, Obama kind of pushing this through, kind of mandating and pushing it through and tying it onto federal funds, maybe this will be the tipping point where in 10 years we look back and go, well that was a thing that enabled physicians to work as teams and enabled physicians to be able to provide secure electronic records. Do you think that's the kick looking back, in the future and look in the past?
I think that will be the start. And you talked about teamwork. When I trained as a physician, I wasn't trained to be a team leader. I was trained to be the key decision maker. And the other people on the team, and I use that term loosely, were really there to serve me and make sure that I did my job better. you know, a much more modern view is that, you know, teams need to work effectively all to get a process done. And everyone on the team contributes something very important. And it's the job of the team leader to make sure that everyone is functioning to get that job done. It's a different way of doing things. And I think what you'll have is when you look back is that electronic medical records were the impetus for people to start rethinking how do they use people? How do they, you know, what types of individuals are involved in the practice? And, you know, what can be done to make things better? And that will create the kind of demand that consumers will see. I mean, once you've experienced a modern facility with updated workflows, you won't go back.
You know, many of these terms come from software development, workflow and working as teams and agile. It just seems that the issues that are presented to us now in this society, they can't be solved by one individual sitting in a corner being the smart guy saying, I can do this, this, and this. The way it has to kind of move off center and go into an area where taking advantage of a whole multiple group of people's skill sets.
Yeah, you know, we've got increasing demand. And one of the things about healthcare reform is that we're going to increase the number of people with insurance coverage, which is going to increase demand. And we've got to find a way to get more people through the system in a more intelligent way. We can't simply just add people to the system and do things as we've always done them. It will overwhelm our ability to care for folks. So we have to do it in a smarter way.
You know, I live in the world of software development, and we have something called the Agile Manifesto. We have something now called the Cloud Computing Manifesto. And now your book is a manifesto, too. It's Reengineering Healthcare, a manifesto for radically rethinking healthcare delivery. And that's what it is. It's an iterative and agile process. We're taking advantage of group skills, and there's a certain risk and danger involved in that, but the benefits so outweigh the change, the resistance to change, that it's measurable in my world.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that we're trying to stress in the book is this is not about making small incremental changes. This is about really dramatically rethinking how we deliver care, how we deal with patients, how we deal with each other in the operating room, in the emergency room, in the doctor's office to do things dramatically better.
And, you know, in the break, I told you about my experience over the winter. My wife broke her arm and went to the hospital, redirected to a physician's office, and no paper. It was all done electronically, and all the x-rays were pulled up on the screen right in front of us. And maybe it's because this was a young physician. Maybe it's because he just was sensitive to cost. But I think it was a real good experience for us. We were in and out in half the time that I could even imagine. I thought it would be a two-day process. We were not within 5 hours, and it's hospital visit, resetting the bone, and out of the doctor's office, everything all recorded and done.
Yeah, and it's those kind of experiences. It's unfortunate that she had to go through that, certainly. But on the other hand, is that most of us are used to a much more prolonged process. It's much more difficult. And I think, you know, going back to the tipping point analogy, is that as more people start to have those experiences with more evolved physician practices and more digitally enabled hospitals, they'll start to have those kind of experiences and they'll want to stick with that.
Great. We have to end the interview here. We've been speaking with Dr. Harry Greenspun, Chief Medical Officer at Dell. He has a new book out called Reengineering Healthcare. It addresses a lot of the issues my listeners are interested in. Many of my technical listeners want to know about electronic medical records. I think all of my listeners want to know about improving healthcare and reducing the cost and making it available to as many people as possible as economically as possible. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'd like to thank my guest, Dr. Harry Greenspun, Chief Medical Officer at Dell. Thanks, Harry.
Thank you very much.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Solutions Developers Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, Tuesday mornings at 11, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.
Droopy memory, sagging attention span. Sure signs your brain is getting flabby. Time to get it off its medulla oblongata and make it work. Pick up a crossword puzzle. Learn a new song on the piano. Eat your cereal with a spoon in your other hand. Kaiser Permanente reminds you that anything you do out of your routine challenges your lovely lobes. For better memory, clearer thinking, and sharper focus, spend a few minutes a day with some mental gymnastics. Find a new route to work. Recite the alphabet backwards. Grocery shop starting at the other end of the store. Just 10 minutes of these routine breakers can improve your brain's speed, retention, and memory. Even help prevent Alzheimer's disease. So do for your brain what you do for your body.
Get it up off its behind and build some mind muscle. Check out our brain teaser at kp.org/thrive. Kaiser Permanente. Thrive.
Kaiser Foundation Health Plan of the Mid-Atlantic States Incorporated, 2101 East.